Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's Thursday morning. Happy you're here with us on the 9th day of January. Back from Jeff City. Carl and I went down there, had a great time. Hey, I tell you what, the roads between here and Jeff City are beautiful, baby.
54 is great.
Dry as a bone all the way. Now, they got a little less snow down there, I think, than we got here. But they got a lot of ice because you could see it hanging on the trees as I was going down 54 toward Jeff City. Yesterday, as you get closer, you can see the ice hanging on the trees. So
but
they did
both
get some
ways
ice.
We're clear each
completely,
way.
Completely. I see that MoDOT and the city are going to hold some sort of briefing today on snow cleanup. It strikes me that's about 3 days too late, to be honest with you.
Or 1 day too early.
And we're expecting snow tonight into tomorrow, 2 to 4 inches, according to my friend Matthew Chambers over at Channel 4 there. I was watching him at the top of the hour, and they're saying 2, maybe 4 inches, depending on where you are. All snow, no ice. I'm sure that's not music to Sue Thomas's ears because it might snarl traffic for tomorrow morning. But I'm guessing a 2 to 4 inch snowfall is not going to vex our trusty MoDOT officials, you think?
Well, Kim? You'd hope not. I'm sure that's what they're actually hoping to do the press conference on is, well, you know,
here's
our crews will be out there brining the streets and pre-treating them and all the things. But I hope these reporters hold their feet to the fire and say, what is happening?
Thank you.
Why should we trust that you're going to have even 4 inches plowed? I understand 4 inches is very different than 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 in some cases, but the meteorologist had been predicting this. We knew it was going to be some epic snowstorm. I guess there's always that chance that things
that
change.
Wrong.
There is that chance. But to me, MoDOT should go with worst case scenario. That's you hope for the best, you plan for the worst.
I will guarantee you that whoever orders bread and milk for Schnucks would be fired if they ran out of bread and milk, whether it snowed or not, because people were expecting that it would be there.
Yeah, but the grocery stores are probably eating this up, no pun intended, because people are going to go out. I'll guarantee you the grocery stores are going to be packed today. And I did go to the grocery store a couple days before the snowstorm weekend.
I went.
And it was like pandemic-level crowds. People were saying the lines at Costco were to the back of the store.
My friend is Sue Thomas, and Sue Thomas wisely said, well, you know what I'm going to do, because I can't sleep in late anyway. I'm going to get up at 6 in the morning, and I'm going to go to the store. So I thought to myself, that's actually a brilliant idea. So I got up at not six, but I got up at seven something and got dressed and went to the store Saturday morning, and there was nobody there. Like, that was the time to go. And overnight, the store had restocked. So there was plenty of milk and bread and all the makings for French toast. I got them all at home and made some French toast.
But what is it about a snowstorm that makes us feel like we all of a sudden need bread and milk? Like, do people really have bread that much where you have to make sure you have at least a few loaves stocked up?
I don't know.
I mean, really, how many sandwiches are you guys eating in a day?
It's like, put a loaf of bread in front of me or put a 12-pack. I'm probably going to overindulge. That's the point. It's like...
Well, the liquor stores are probably packed, too.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. All right, let's get to our top stories now, Carl, please.
Thank you. The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor?
Yeah, for the first time in her political life, Karen Bass, former congresswoman, now mayor of L.A., is speechless. She had nothing to say to those questions because guess what? She bears a lot of the responsibility for the poor preparations in Los Angeles.
Donald Trump shows me what's politically possible. Trump shows me what presidents can do if they want to do it. It's not about what can't be done. It's about who has the political will to do it.
Wow. Charlemagne the God is switching, I wouldn't say switching his allegiance, but heaping praise on the man he was warning everybody not to vote for just a couple of months ago when he endorsed Kamala Harris.
Neighborhoods digging their cars out of the icy, snowy mess has really been quite the challenge. And with how treacherous some of the streets still are, many families are preparing for another day off of school.
Oh, what we need is a little historical perspective here, Channel 4. I've been in media in St. Louis for 31 years, and I can't remember the last time the city plowed the side streets, like in neighborhoods. They just don't do it.
Shows St. Louis's mayor has been jet-setting throughout her term. Public records revealing the mayor took 64 trips in the last 3.5 years in office. The story broken by the St. Louis Business Journal.
Wow. How about that story, Kim? You got to wonder who planted that story in the local media. I mean, Kara Spencer, is that her name, running for alderman?
Yeah.
And she running for mayor again?
Yeah, mayor against Jones. That actually shocks me that Channel 4 even reported on that, because I'm covering that in headlines. And some of them sound legitimate, like she supposedly met with the Southwest Airlines CEO. I do get that, but some of them... I don't know. I'd need more details to justify some of these trips.
Let's be honest. I mean, here's the deal. If you are taking a trip out of town and you can arrange a business meeting while you're there, you get to write it off. Carl Middleman and I know that. I mean, for goodness sake.
Every time.
Dang it, I have to go to the conference in the Bahamas. I have to
because there's going to be a vendor there who might potentially one day, who knows, if we're lucky, do business in the city of St. Louis. Oh, that's a business trip.
They said in 2075 they may be interested in partnering with St. Louis. I better go now. I better go to Cabo and just meet with MNC.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing here. Listen to kind of where she went in all these trips. Go to cut 13, please.
Some of the facts here. Take a look at this. You requested the mayor's travel reports and her work calendar. Those records show she had taken these 64 trips since taking office back in April of 2021. In total, she was away from St. Louis for 163 days. You do the math, you find out that's about 12% of her total time in office. Now let's look at some of the trips she went on. In 2021, a trip to Dallas, meeting with Southwest Airlines CEO. 2022, to Washington, D.C., the African American Mayors Association Conference. Also that year, going to Las Vegas to meet with the International Council of Shopping Centers. And then the next year, in New York, the Urban League Summit. She also took trips to Puerto Rico, Montreal, and Mexico City.
Wow. That's what the Business Journal dug up there. I'm sure that was some good investigative journalism. It shouldn't be too hard to figure out where the trips were. What are the trips we don't know about would be my question.
Point.
And 163 days of vacation over that stretch of time.
And there's no one, I don't think, directly under her, which kind of is unique for St. Louis. So that does put us in a precarious situation. If she is gone and something were to happen, which we all know can and does happen in the city of St. Louis, who's the acting
Well, it's I don't know. I don't know who steps up. But it's what Jacob Kern pointed out as to why this is kind of a bigger deal. Go to cut 14 for us quickly, Carl. Thank you.
So, Jacob, in the last 3.5 years, to the general public, this might seem like a lot of travel.
Yeah, and I think that for people who have had experience in the mayor's office, it seemed like a lot of travel as well, because Lyda Crewson took a little more than 4 trips a year. Francis Slay, the top officials who were with him, they said it was even less. Freeman Bosley served in the 90s. He said he tried to leave St. Louis as infrequently as he could, because the office, it really depends on doing the operational work of the city. And there are a lot of departments that depend on the mayor. One thing to remember is that, unlike in Kansas City or some of our peer towns, we don't have a city manager. So the mayor is the operational chief of the government.
Yeah, that was what I was just saying.
That's it. That's when she's not here, I don't know. Maybe Vervis is in charge. Now that's a scary prospect. We're going to be back in just a minute. We're going to get to William Lajeunesse. I promised you we'd try to get him on. He is in the middle of that effort to still save parts of Pacific Palisades out in California. We'll be back.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They can't fight a fire without water and the resources that are needed. Everybody knew these winds were coming. The other question has to be, you know, were all the things in place to try to, you know, again, mitigate the damage here? But the real issue to me is twofold. We've had decades to go remove the brush in these hills that spread so quickly. And the second is, you got to have water. And my understanding is the reservoir was not refilled in time and in a timely manner to keep the hydrants going.
That is a resident out there and one of the city, one of the county leaders around L.A. saying this is a big problem. And the thing about it is we've had these wildfires for years, and yet somebody didn't think it would be a good idea to have a full reservoir before we got into the heavy season here. You know, I mentioned this earlier, but when he was in office the first time, Donald Trump butted heads with California. Remember Governor Newsom? Because he said your force management practices suck. They had insane rules in California where if you were even a private landowner, the tree had to be either 4 or 6 inches, stick in my brain here, that the circumference of the tree had to be at least that thick before you could go in and trim it down, or you couldn't trim it if it was less than that or more than that. I don't know. The point is, when you go into thin out areas for fire prevention, you want to get up stuff that's fallen on the ground and small trees that allow the fire to jump from place to place. Like, that's what you do in forest management. California's had insane rules in place for years that don't even allow private homeowners to go in and do that because the environmental wackos have kind of taken over California. And Trump was critical of them then, and they're like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And then these awful fires rage, and they come out and say, well, there was a lot of debris on the ground kind of fueling the fire. He said it again. He said it on that 3-hour broadcast he had with Joe Rogan before the election. He brought this up. He's like, they've diverted their water sources in Southern California because environmentalists complained about the snail darter, and they won't block certain rivers so they could create reservoirs so they could have water for farmers and to fight fires out of fear that it might cause this snail darter to go extinct. And it's absolute insanity. They may have had a lack of rainfall, but there's no lack of water available in Southern California if they would just manage it with a little bit of common sense. And they won't.
I'd also heard that the state of California had, with all the different regulations, had made it very difficult for insurance companies. And as a result of that, many of these insurance companies were dropping people from fire coverage.
Yeah. I know that's going to be a big problem moving forward. People got dropped. What are they going to do in the future? We're going to talk to Jerry Willis about that at the top of the hour. Right now, let me get to William Lajeunesse with Fox News. He's been in the middle of all of this. And William, what is the situation this morning? Are they making any progress?
Yeah, Mark, they are. They're, you're not gonna, it's not going to be reflected in the containment numbers because containment is a very odd figure in terms of getting a line around the fire of dirt, et cetera, et cetera. But the danger, the threat, if you will, is severely reduced largely because of the weather, right? And number two, they've got the helicopters up, and they've doubled the number almost of firefighters here. So as evidenced last night, we had four new fires, and they quickly got them under control, basically because they were able to douse them with these helicopters, which they didn't necessarily have before, and they had plenty of resources. They have firefighters from Northern California, Arizona, Nevada, and they're not stretched as thin as they were two nights ago when there were structures, you know, under flames. And there was no firefighter in sight because they were busy somewhere else.
What's the damage? What's the damage so far? What's the death count?
Well, the number of fatalities is five, which given the size of the fire is pretty good. And that's relatively speaking, right? And they brought in some cadaver dogs to see if there are not more. Now, the size of the fire is not that big, right? The Palisades fire is 17,000 acre compared to the Camp Fire. Back in 2018, has 150,000 acres, and you'll have 300,000 acres in a place like Arizona. But here's the important part. The Camp Fire was the most expensive fire in U.S. history at about $19 billion. This one is estimated to be $50 to $57 billion because all that Malibu real estate, the Palisades, the celebrities who live up here, we're talking about $10 to $50 million homes. And they're estimating about 2,000 homes and businesses went up. So, you know, the numbers are just excessive.
It is. And you know, is it true that insurance companies had dropped some of those policies just before this fire?
The insurance companies have been dropping policies for the last 4 years.
Wow.
Increasingly, they dropped me. And people had to go on the state plan, which doesn't give you quite the same coverage and has very strict limits. And there's a lot of people, because it got so expensive, they've been going without insurance. And that's going to include some people who lost their home. So the insurance situation out here is a nightmare.
Wow. William Lajeunesse, thanks for your reporting. We'll be watching you on Fox this morning. Thank you.
You bet, Mark.
You bet. Thank you for your time, too, for giving us an update on what's going on out there. I mean, no loss of life is good. It seems amazing that only five people have died, given the path of destruction out there. All right, we're going to be back in just a minute. We'll get you an update from Tom Ackerman on sports. Stay tuned.
That's what's happened here. It's just absolute mismanagement. I am so embarrassed to see Karen Bass do that to a reporter. Just absolutely go quiet like she's in second grade. She should resign immediately.
Wow. Well, when Superman calls for your resignation, it's time to go. Where was he? That was Dean Cain, the actor on Fox this morning. I'm just kidding. I mean, obviously, he used to live there. He moved away from California, but they had him on to talk about what he used to put up with when he lived out there. And, you know, he says that Karen Bass should resign immediately, if not sooner, because of what's gone on with these fires. And I think a lot of people are probably going to be feeling the same way before this is all over with. All right, looks like we got our friend Tom Ackerman.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, Tom, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Morning, buddy. You doing well? In Nashville, called the Belmont Southern Illinois game last night, which was an absolute barn burner. It was awesome. Fun game. And 90-86, a victory pulled away by the Belmont Bruins.
Oh, boy.
And meanwhile, in St. Louis, an unbelievable performance by St. Louis University. The Billikens beat St. Bonaventure and are now 3-0 and leading the Atlantic 10 Conference all by themselves.
Yeah.
SLU has quite the squad. Really, really good team.
Well, it's good. When we talked a little bit about that the other day, it seems like that there's so much good talent out there and many of much of it right here. I mean, Mizzou won this week, and – they're in that tough SEC where every week there's an upset because, what, eight of the top 25 are from the SEC, I think? I mean, it's incredible.
Six of the top 10.
Yeah,
I mean, it's unbelievable. So, yeah, the SEC is loaded with talent. I mean, just loaded and easily the best conference in college basketball. Tennessee gets beaten by Florida, gets drilled by Florida on Tuesday night. So that ends the last unbeaten, which, of course, makes us Indiana fans quietly very happy. We pop champagne on that one.
So that means
the last undefeated team is the 1976 Hoosiers. So that's always fun. No one's ever going to go undefeated again. I mean, the last team to come close was Kentucky. That was in 2015. I was there in Indianapolis when they went to the Final Four undefeated and lost to Wisconsin. And, you know, that was, of course, in Indianapolis. So Indiana fans quietly pumped their fists because that means no more.
Not too quietly, as I remember.
But, you know, it was a great night the other night. So you had Tennessee getting hammered by Florida. So that shows, again, the SEC flexing. You had Georgia winning. They beat, you know, Kentucky. You had just all kinds of stuff going on. You know,
we got homered, Tom. We got homered. I watched that game with Carl Middleman. He can be my. You witnessed it, Carl. You're my witness.
It was
bad calls. Lots of flops
on both sides.
Lots of flops. We got
homered. They were. It was like a soccer game.
But the point being, it's tough to play on the road in the SEC.
We didn't say the SEC officials are the best at basketball. We said the conference was. But, you know, going back to SLU, though, like, you know, the Billikens, people might say, well, they wouldn't be able to handle an SEC team. You know, if you watched Indiana State last year, the way that team was playing at its peak, I talked about it every single week. I said, this team has to be in the NCAA tournament. You got to put them in. And then they end up losing the championship of Arch Madness in the Valley, so they don't get the automatic bid. They have to sit there for an extra week while all the other conference tournaments went on to see if they would get an at-large, and they didn't. They didn't put Indiana State in, which was a real shame. And, you know, look, there were a lot of upsets, so teams kind of bounced Indiana State out in the end.
Right.
But the shame was that people were, you know, stripped of an opportunity to see Josh Schertz's team play. They play a fun style of basketball, and they have one of the faces of college basketball in Robbie Avila. He is a fun player to watch because, you know, he walks out on the court, this big dude. He doesn't look like a guy who would be running in Division I college basketball, maybe playing at your local YMCA. But he goes out there, and he plays an unbelievable style of ball. I mean, he has a great vision for the game, a great passer, great shooter. He's strong. He blocked three shots last night. He's a good defender. And he's a fun player to watch. And last night, you know, he's doing all of those things. And the rest of the team is playing well around him. This offense that all five players touch the ball on a possession. They only shoot threes or take shots to the basket as layups. They don't do these little mid-range shots. I mean, it is fun. And they cut to the basket. They play great defense. So SLU won a big game last night against St. Bonaventure. And their fans should be pumped about it.
Yeah.
They're 3-0. And I think they could make a little run here.
Hey, Tom, I know a lot of people, a lot of college football fans will be watching the Orange Bowl tonight. Who do you have winning, Penn State or Notre Dame?
I've got the Irish winning that. I think it's going to be a great game, Kim. Penn State is obviously talented, and they have a great, you know, just overall body of work. They are a big physical team, you know, just like the Big Ten likes to crank out these big, strong, running-style teams. But they can throw it, too, but they're defensively very good. I just think that Notre Dame is playing at such a high level right now, and their quarterback can make plays and escape for first downs. Like, he does it over and over and over again, and their defense has the ability to get into your backfield very quickly. They crash, you know, and find gaps in the offensive line, and they get to the quarterback, they get to the running back, tackles for loss, they cover the perimeter very well. The edge. It's just a really strong Notre Dame team. I mean, they beat Georgia soundly, and I like them to win today in the Orange Bowl. I think it'll be fun. And then the game tomorrow night, I mean, they'll have the stage all to themselves. There's nothing going on Friday night, usually, in television or sports. So Ohio State and Texas going at it in the Cotton Bowl will be pretty great, and I think Ohio State handles them. And it'll be an Ohio State Notre Dame national championship.
Won't that be something? Yeah, we'll see. You know, I'm excited about. We're slaves to our schedule. I'm assuming you're back in town tomorrow, Tom.
Yeah, I'm about to get on a plane here in Nashville. I usually would just drive this, but the league is flying me. I mean, what luxury!
Nice, no kidding.
Yeah, I'll be back in town this morning, and then I'll be watching the Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl, and this weekend you got all the NFL action too. I mean, it's a great football weekend, no doubt about it.
Well, the good thing for our schedule is that this game tonight starts at 6:30 Central Time on ESPN. So those of us who normally go to bed at 9, 8:30 or 9 o'clock can see most of the game. If it's really close, you can stay up and watch the end of it. But I mean, who knows? I love the fact that the game is starting a little bit earlier than normal.
Well, what's even better is I don't have to work tomorrow morning.
Oh, perfect.
That is nice.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I'm off on Fridays, yeah. So I get to stay up and watch that. That'll be fun. But, you know, I've got a basketball game to prepare for. My eighth grade girls, our opener is Saturday night.
Nice. Lots of pressure.
Yeah, it's time. It's time. We've had such a good run the last couple of years. We got to keep it going. You can't let off the gas now.
That is Tom Bobby Knight Ackerman joining us here this morning. Don't throw any chairs, my friend. Hey, have fun. Good luck with that. Have a safe flight.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'll echo your thoughts at the very start of this segment that it is just devastating what's happening in Los Angeles. I cannot believe it. I watch the videos. I get text messages from people who are out there. It is just absolutely devastating.
Yeah, when you look at some of the pictures and how fast that thing was moving, it just defies belief. It's like nothing we've ever seen around here.
Well, and people having to abandon their cars.
Yeah, to run.
I heard on Sunset Boulevard, they had to run. And then these fire trucks, the city was having to use bulldozers to try to get the cars out of the road that had just been abandoned
so they could get through. Did you see Steve Guttenberg, the actor? He was one of the people out there moving cars, and he was sending messages out on social media saying, if you're going to abandon your car, leave your keys in the car so we can get the cars out of the way.
Yeah, what a shame. All right. Safe travels, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, talk to you later. Tom Ackerman there in Nashville this morning, and he'll be back on the air Monday, I would imagine. But he's
Sunday. Sports on a Sunday.
Sports on a Sunday morning. That's right. Absolutely. Yep. All right. Good stuff. Coming up, we're going to get to In Other News with Ethan next hour. We'll talk more about that insurance crisis. Now, obviously, it's a problem in Southern California. It's a growing problem around the country. What is the answer? I don't know. We'll talk to Jerry Willis from Fox Business about 7:08.
Happening.
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
So the SAG Awards were announced yesterday. They did announce them, even though usually they host a little show, but with the fires going on, apparently no one felt safe, so they just put out a press release. All the usual suspects are here. Nominated films, Wicked, The Complete Unknown, Emilia Perez, Conclave, Anora. Seen any of those, Carl?
I've seen most of them.
Good, bad, otherwise.
I liked Anora. It is not for everybody. I think Mark might like it. Kim would not. And I...
Is it a
love
story? Tell
us about it. What is it? It's a love story, right? No.
A stripper...
Here we go.
Yeah.
A stripper gets like a pretty woman thing from a Russian oligarch's son.
Okay.
And they get married.
Okay.
And then the oligarch and his wife find out about it and come over to the United States to put an end to that marriage.
Ah, that sounds like an interesting love story, doesn't it, Kim?
A lot of nudity.
It sounds like a really nice love story. Does it have a happy ending, though?
My wife, I was watching this movie, and my wife was asleep, and then she woke up in the middle of it, and she said, "What are you watching?"
Does it expose you to a lot of like emotional angst?
Yes.
See, I think, Kim, I think we'd appreciate this movie.
That sounds nice.
I don't.
Lots of exposure.
But one of the things that was a surprise about the SAG, the Directors Guild Awards, is that A Complete Unknown, which had been unfettered so far this year, it's one of my favorite movies of the year. That's the Bob Dylan story.
The Bob Dylan story.
It is fantastic. It is a great
film.
And
he's sagging these days, so how fitting that SAG gave him that award. That's nice.
But if you don't have to like Dylan for it.
Oh, good.
And the hippies look really bad, so you'll like that part.
All right. Go ahead, Ethan. We've hijacked your segment. Go ahead.
No, Wicked did lead the nominations. They had 5. Complete Unknown came in right after him with 4. As far as TV, The Bear, Succession, Last of Us, Better Call Saul, and Only Murderers in the Building all got nominations. If you want to find out who wins, tune in live on February 23rd.
Don't get Mark started on The Bear with Yes, Chef, No, Chef.
Better Call Saul is still on?
No,
how's that
now.
Still getting awards?
It's over now.
It's probably the last season.
I had no idea it was even still on.
And they announced this week that The Last of Us Season 2 will be in April now.
Okay. All right.
Bonnaroo's tickets, if you want to go, they are going on sale today. It's going to be held June 12th through the 15th in Manchester, Tennessee, where it's always held. Luke Combs, Tyler, the Creator, Olivia Rodrigo, and Hozier apparently are going to be headlining. Like I said, tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m. at Bonnaroo.com.
Would you go to that, Ethan? Ethan goes
there
to all
are,
these.
Yeah, you could camp.
There are, you can't, I...
Yes.
Yes. Yay. I like the artist. No, I would not go to this.
Why?
It's getting too big. It's way too big.
But so, you like these festivals.
I do like them. That's true. And you can see King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
I've heard of them.
They are great. They're a great band.
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Yeah.
I like it.
They're a jam band. They're a great band.
They're a fish type of band.
They're kind of a jam band.
Oh.
Sue's out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Sorry. I like the name, though.
Yeah. There is a growing list of celebrities that are losing their house to the L.A. wildfires. You've already mentioned James Wood. You can add Billy Crystal, Paris Hilton, Mandy Moore, Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt, John Goodman, Eugene Levy, and Mark Hamill. They are all losing their houses right now.
So sad. I'm sure many more will, too. I mean, it's hitting Sunset Boulevard and the Hollywood Hills, and that's where a lot of them
Hollywood Bowl.
Live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. The Hollywood Bowl went.
Also, Billy Crystal and his wife have lived in that house for, it was either 36 or 46 years.
Wait, did you say the Hollywood Bowl got
hit?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of good news. Legendary ESPN announcer Dick Vitale, he announced on social media that his vocal cords are now cancer-free, signaling his potential return to calling college basketball games. So Dickie V might be on the mend and coming back, which would be a great thing.
Yeah, he's a diaper dandy, baby. Okay, I hope he's back for the tournament this year.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It looks like the Biden administration has introduced a new rule to prevent unpaid medical bills from appearing on credit reports, addressing a longstanding issue affecting Americans' borrowing ability. Issued by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the rule will erase $49 billion in medical debt from the credit reports over 15 million Americans. Lenders will no longer consider medical debt when evaluating loan applications.
How is that a thing?
They still owe the money.
Yeah,
it's just not going
to show up on the report. I know, but if they get sued for it and have to pay it, suddenly they can't pay their mortgage, and the guy that lent you the money for the house gets hosed because you can't pay your bills.
I have mixed feelings on this. Yeah. Mm. I get it to an extent, because sometimes you have these outrageous bills, and a lot of people are battling with their insurance company saying you should cover this, and they're not. So you're in limbo for like 2 years,
maybe,
so why should it hurt you? But to your point, I understand the other side of this where it could cause other issues.
I remember what happened in the mortgage crisis in 2007. I know what caused it. They lent money to people that couldn't pay the bills. They were a bad credit risk. I just don't know how you can force that on private companies. But I digress. Go ahead, Ethan.
Two bodies were discovered in the landing gear compartment of a JetBlue plane at Fort Lauderdale International Airport during a routine inspection after its flight from New York's JFK Airport. The individuals were deceased and their identities. They don't know who they are. They can't really identify them yet, but they are going to do an autopsy and try to figure out who these people are.
They
have no idea
from a foreign country.
It didn't say.
They don't know.
They have no information. There's two bodies. They don't know how they even got in there.
Did JetBlue try to charge them after the fact for their luggage? Because they'll do that to you over there. You've got to be careful. Yeah, no kidding. All right, coming up, we'll get to former Senator Jim Talent right after the break. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.